The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Martin Owen. How you doing, Martin?
Yeah, good, thanks.
You okay? You had a pretty successful weekend?
Yeah, it was good. Yes, it was all right.
It was okay. Did you become the vice champion of anything?
No, because I won, and vice champion is crap.
Stop that. Stop that now. I think we're okay today, but that won't be good in a couple of weeks' time. But Martin, let's stop messing around. Who are we going to speak to today?
Tonight, we got multiple European champion, multiple national champion, and one of the nicest guys in RC. We have Mr. Lee Martin.
Hi, Lee. How are you? Hi, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good. That was a nice little ending from Martin. I didn't need to throw that complete lie in at the end, but we'll roll with it.
Everybody knows this is fake news, mate. No one believes what goes on this.
Well, you didn't try and make me feel better there, did you?
No. We'll make sure you'll feel better by the time we've finished with you tonight. mate, let's get straight into it. I think, did you have a weekend off this weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, kind of off. We had a fellow racer, CJ Stagdo, on the Saturday. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of a weekend off, but kind of not at the same time.
Okay. Hanging around with all the good people, just no car racing.
That's right, man. Yeah, that's right. We had a few RC guys there, myself, Crompton, and Madge, and then Yian, of course.
Yo-Yo turned up.
He did. First time he's turned up for a while.
Mm. I got invited to the one that was in Vegas, but said, I'm not going on holiday with you lot of Vegas. But when it got to move to Bristol, nobody told me.
That was a shame. You could have come with us.
Could have. Mm. I'll mention it to CJ. Anyway, the weekend before then, you didn't have a weekend off. You attended what, you know, I'm calling the best national ever at Southport. I nearly did that with a straight face. It was a good national. How did you feel it went for you, mate?
Yeah, it went all right. Obviously, I had to miss the first round due to a clash of... Yeah, it was Martin's fault anyway. We all know it's Martin's fault.
Always.
So, yeah, I had to miss the first round. Obviously, we haven't done one since 2019. Mm-hmm. So it was actually awesome to be back. I really enjoyed myself. The racing was as good as it has been for, you know, a long time. I got to battle with my old pal Neil again on the national scene, and I had a really good meeting. You know, I was going to Southport maybe not expecting the best results in the world, because, you know, it's quite far up north for me and there's a lot of fast guys there now. But I was quite happy to come away with two podiums. You know, years gone past, I would have been annoyed not to win. Well, I kind of still was. But because of the big gap and because we had good racing on a difficult track with a lot of fast local guys, I was quite happy.
Okay, so your two-wheel drive, you know, you must have, like you said it there, you were maybe happy with your result. In the past, you would have been happy. You're only happy with winning. But it just looked quite straightforward for you.
In what aspect? What do you mean?
Well, you seem quite relaxed. You know, I didn't see anything what goes on the track. I don't watch that. You seem quite relaxed. You know, the lad was with you. You smile on your face all the time. I know, obviously, you wanted to win, but second's a good result.
Yeah. And I agree with that entirely. Purely because I did a lot of running in the week before it. I did a bit of testing. A friend came over, Fabian from Switzerland, he came over. Learned a bit with setups that, you know, we haven't really been able to push the last few years, and was in just a very happy place. I actually didn't change the setup on my tool drive for the whole time. I didn't even change shock oil. So, I was pretty happy with it. I knew it was just a driver. I kind of started pretty steady and then eased my way into the speed. And I think if I qualified a bit higher, it could have been a different story. But yeah, overall happy. I mean, it was third in the end, not second. Crompton got me, but, okay. You know, Neil and obviously Paul was very fast there. So, yeah, it was good to hang with them and everything felt great. And yeah, good result.
I also just Again, I just always saw a smile on your face, and maybe because I've just missed you at 10th event.
That's okay. Just that, you know, likeable guy of RC thing.
Well, I think it's, every so often I'd just turn around and you'd just be watching something. It was great. It is a pretty new car with your two-wheel drive, isn't it?
Well, it's not really. I mean, it's a new version of a car we've been very familiar with. They're all very similar now, and they've all been pretty similar since the original Yoke came out in 2015. Well, original YZ2 came out in 2015. You know, everything now is a variation of that car. So in theory, it's only tweaks to the same model it was back then.
Okay, but clearly they worked. And as I say, you've been out of like that kind of competition national thing for a while, as everybody has been.
I definitely felt a little bit behind the curve, not doing Kidderminster. You know, that first qualifier on a track was the first competitive national race, you know, since 2019. So I definitely eased into it.
Mm-hmm. And then straight into four-wheel drive, even easier. I've got a quote somewhere from him. He said, that's the best your four-wheel drive's ever been.
Yeah, it has. And again, testament to kind of what we learned in the week before it. My four-wheel drive, all four-wheel drives can be an absolute animal at times, especially around high bite, semi-bumpy tracks. So I was a little bit worried. But since we put the car down on the first run, again, it was awesome. I just done a small change to shock oils on it. And it was cool. And it dealt with the rain and it dealt with the dry. Everything was good. And again, slightly, if you didn't have that back section in, like it was not in on Sunday morning.
Yeah, we covered that last week.
It would have been a little bit of a different story, because I only ever crashed on that back section where it would have a random roll. And, you know, I was a good in Q3. Again, I eased into it a bit, not to make a fool of myself, getting the main first. And then Q3 was looking like a very stellar run into it, rolled twice on the last lap, which lost TQ. And then obviously it got TQ in the last one. So could have been lined up first on the grid, but ended up second. But it did give me the opportunity to race with my old foe Neil again, which was awesome. You know, we both appreciated that one. And yeah, got into the lead in leg two, only for it to roll on the back section. So, you know, it was written in the stars, but again, happy to walk away with a second from that weekend.
Okay. Why have you got elastic bands between your screws and your shock tower?
Yeah, O-rings, not quite elastic bands.
Okay. Why have you got O-rings between the screws and your shock tower?
It's just to create flex, you know, the way our car's built, similar to the associated car, everything's mounted to an alley plate, effectively, that's then mounted to an alley chassis. So you don't actually get much flex in those areas. Our car's a little bit different, where we have like a plastic shim between it. But still, it's not really a massive amount of flex, to be honest. So it's purely to create flex in those areas so you have a bit of give before it forces energy through the steel or the aluminium parts, which can make your car feel a little aggressive.
Okay. Martin, did you do that this weekend?
I tried it, yeah. I think Lee has stumbled on something very good.
I can't take all the credit for it. I'm not going to lie. I stole the idea from someone else.
Well, you can take the credit, because it was your picture that ended up on the internet with him in, so that's good enough for me.
I think if you look over at the guy I stole it from, his O-rings are just black instead of blue, but they'll be pictures of that too.
I tried him with and without, just to see what it was like. And there's this thing that I've spoke to you about it before, Lee, that there's a point where you got to be in your kind of position to notice these small differences, and the average driver can't. But when the average driver can notice a difference, it's quite a big thing. And I tried them in and out on Saturday at a regional. You could feel the difference.
Yeah, that's good. Just keep an eye on your screws, because
they started. So what I did is I put the screws in and put slightly longer ones in, and on the Schumacher that where it goes to your plastic, they stick out a little bit. And I just put a tab of glue on them, stop them coming back out.
Yeah, Good idea. So, good idea.
But yeah, it was. You could feel the difference. So hats off. Even if you stole it, well, you went with the right color ones that everyone could see.
Exactly. I kind of stole the idea, but I took it a little further too. If you actually look at the pictures of my car, you'll see them in other places also. So,
yeah.
Oh no, that means if I go back and look at your car again.
Yep.
I've seen them in the other places. They wouldn't work with a belt-driven car though. Well, they might. Correct.
They okay. might. It just might make a bit of a noise.
Yeah.
My four-wheel drive always makes a noise. Always makes a noise.
I'm not shocked.
Well, I'm going to say, man, I'm going to say that I then create. If we can all agree that nobody will listen to this ever, I'll say I'll come up with the idea and I just run black O-rings, and therefore no one could see them on my car. I think that's.
Or you run clear ones, and they're that clear you can't see them.
It's even better, Lee. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you
very much.
I'm here all night.
Well, for a bit anyway, not all night, not all night. But one of the things we can talk about before you go, because again, just if we can go back again, before the Southport National, you were at the Euros warm up.
Correct.
Happy with how that went? Is that I've got like this thing in my head that all you top guys are all trying to beat each other just to get that sort of psychological advantage over each other. Is that anything to do with it, or you're just trying to get your car sorted for Robin Hood?
Nah, I mean, for me, it's just trying to get my car sorted. I think when you're a bit younger, definitely all of these races are a race, and sometimes you forget the bigger picture that you're actually just practicing for a race in a few months' time that has a way bigger prize.
Mm-hmm.
So literally I test different things every run, not looking to optimize my result, but definitely looking to optimize my performance for a few months' time. And even if it's just idea makers, like looking at F1 kind of style testing, test a concept. If you can see it's heading in the right direction, then when you have more time in the future, you can go and explore it. So that's what I did. And I really didn't optimize it until I went on a little exploration on the week before Southport, like I said. So I'm hoping everything's in a way better place than what it was. It was already pretty fast. I'm just hoping it's in a better place and we can really challenge for that win, because I'd love to win again.
Okay. And then me and Martin were chatting beforehand. I think you'd really like to win a four-wheel drive title.
Well, I've already won one.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad prep. I'm going to cut that bit out.
Come on, man. 2010, that was my debut win year, and I didn't actually lose a round of qualifying or a final in either class. So, come on. Be facts. Oh,
that's I'm going to say that's before my time, 2010.
But no, yeah, obviously I'd like to win either of them. Either of them are cool. Tool drive's always my favorite to win. Mm-hmm. Always has been my favorite class to try and win. I always have considered it to be the more difficult class. Definitely less about how good your car is and more about how kind of good your driver is. Obviously there's exceptions and cars can be amazing or this and that, but you know, with four-wheel drive, sometimes if someone nails a setup, they can be fast regardless. So I always like two-wheel, but hey, I'll take either.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, I'm going to say that's one of my happiest days of RC, the Wednesday at Robin Hood in 2015, when you won two-wheel drive.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a quality day. Yeah, just to win one in England was pretty awesome. With all my family there too, and, you know, everyone cheering and stuff. Yeah, it was awesome. I love that day too.
It was. Okay, I'm going to say my biggest cheer, I can't remember which leg it was, but because Mark Reinhard was running a yoke at the time as well, wasn't he?
Yep.
And I think, like, Neil made a bit of a mistake, and then Mark got back in front of Neil when you were leading. I think I literally did scream out, oh, that's it, Lee's got it. Now, Mark is knocked before it. I spent the rest of the race not watching you, just watching Mark Reinhard, just going, just don't let Neil past. Just don't let Neil past. Just hold him up. That's it. Lee's got this. Job done.
yeah, he was fast then, Mark. He, like, that's Mark for you, though. Like, me and Shin worked on this car and this beautiful setup, and we gave him it, and then he almost beats me anyway. So, but no, yeah, that was, yeah, it was a quality week. I like that one.
Well, you did that, and then I'm just trying to, and then you punch Ben Gemma when the balls on live on camera.
Yeah, winning.
I'm not being funny. There's no better week that was there.
Exactly. I could have done better in four wheel kind of sucked, but you know, if you win €1 in the week, you're generally pretty happy.
yeah okay. And if I had done better prep, I would have realized in 2010 that you won two of them.
Hey, no problem.
So
I thought you loved me, but there we go.
Well, I do, clearly. it says on me towel. So at that 2015 Euros, it was sort of like a team. I know Shin was there, you know, Mark Reinhold was there. Does that help with the Euros, having other ideas and other people, having a kind of a Shin there? But in this one, you won't, will you? Shin's not there anymore.
I won't. I'll be all on my lonesome. I mean, it definitely helps having ideas, and even sometimes to kind of calm you down, like if you have a bad run. Sometimes you're like, Shin, this was crap, and this was crap, and this was crap. But he'll be like, oh, no, it's fine, I'll change something. But in reality, he probably never changed anything. But it's just nice that someone's there like, oh, no, you know, it's fine, you know, you're all right. But, yeah, this year's going to be a little different. Not as big of a team. Still got a few guys, like Fabian, like I said, and then little Ben Simpson, he's going to come do the Euros, who's been rapido of late.
Yeah.
Not done much temp scale, but he's coming to do the Euros. And then I think Greg Williams should be there as well. So we can work together to work on a setup. And then there's a few other guys, like Yaz, I think, is going for the tool drive portion of the event. So, you know, there'll still be guys there. But hopefully I kind of know enough about Astro to have this one all covered. To the extent that, you know, we can still go racing and try and win.
Because it is Robin Hood, and you have gone round there 1,000 times before.
It is. Although, you know, we don't want to get too complacent, because people like Alowski have gone around there probably 1,000 times more than I have. So, yeah.
Paul Compton's gone around 1,000 times last week.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. It's all right when you've kind of got nothing else to do.
he's got nothing else to do. So it's been great to see you. You're not going yet, calm down. It's been great to see you back at the competitive national tent stuff and the Euros, and we'll all be cheering your honor when the Euros come to Robin Hood in June, July, isn't it? Yep. But I think also the things that sort of the next come up, you couldn't go to Kidderminster because you had the Nemo GP, and then there's another event that I'm going to call your home track now, Nemo Raceway. The RCGP are turning up, aren't they?
Yeah, we're going to have, to be fair, like August is Nemo month. We've got so many races at that track in August, unbelievable. So we got the RCGP coming over. Unfortunately, it clashes with another temp scale national.
Not my fault this time.
Not your fault this time, mate.
It's only torch. No one cares.
Well, I do. It's only 45 minutes from my house. And I like torch. But yeah, so yeah, RCGP at Nemo. Exciting.
Oh, super excited. I know there were some hints and things from some of the... You did some chat. You did like a video thing with the RCGP, RC Racing TV people a couple of weeks or months ago, and I think we are sitting there going, "Did they say they're going to Nemo Raceway?" I think it could be it could have more spectators than any other RCGP or any race we've ever seen, because I think a lot of people are looking to travel down to go on the Friday to watch. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, it'd be awesome. We're really going to try and push to get, you know, maybe some local schools or, you know, local companies, because obviously we've got Aston Martin and Jaguar Land Rover just around the corner. So maybe you know, employees will come over on a lunch to check it out. It would be awesome to try and get more people, especially not from RC, to go and have a look, because it's going to be a huge event, going to be exciting racing. There's going to be a lot of superstars there. So it could be a good opportunity for everyone. I think everyone should try and get behind it. BRCA should get behind it, with ApeScale, obviously, not TempScale. They won't be there. but really try and push. It would be wicked to see everyone come down on the Friday when they're driving past. We'll put up a, try and get a grandstand going or something so people can watch it. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm super impressed. I'm like, this is what we want. I think we've seen from, you know, there's a 10th, well, there's an EOS workshop thing, and then this is like the biggest, other than the world, it could be like the biggest kind of event we'll see in 8th in the UK for that kind of presentation videos. It's just going to be great for Nemo racing. It's going to be great for Nemo Raceway, just to see those the coverage and video from it.
I agree. I think it's going to be, it's the reason why we kind of invested to go and do the RCGP in the first place, to really try and push the image of RC, you know, the videos they do, people enjoy watching them, even if you're not from an RC background. It's the high quality, you know, broadcasting, basically. So that's the whole reason we're there. And to have one at Nemo only heightens that experience for us. And yeah, say, excited all round.
So we got, and then I was watching, I only caught it today. RCGB did an interview when you were over in America, with the prototype. That seems to be a prototype for a long time. The N1.
The concept.
Is that what it's called? Although, now? Concept.
It was a concept, although it's not a concept anymore because it's being made.
Okay.
So, yeah. I only watched it today myself. I don't know if it just came out today. I'm not sure. So, I mean, pretty exciting, huh?
Well, yeah, but I can ask these questions because I'm an idiot. I don't remember the old days of Preds and lay down shocks, but I thought maybe the one scale it would struggle with is with an 8th, with all the landing and things from height. Clearly, it's not something that just appeared. You've had it for a period of time. You know, is that going to be the car that you're going to run next year?
Yes.
Nationals?
Yes.
All of them?
Yes. Everyone.
I don't know. How does it work so well? If like upright shocks, I've seen pictures of Brookthorpe and Northwest Nitro. They're big jumps. They're coming down. It's like the shock package just totally different because they're
not particularly. So there's not much difference. We use the same diameter shock. We use the same pistons in the shocks. We use the same. Well, we use slightly shorter springs, but you know nothing different. They're the same kind of coils. The shock actually works a lot smoother. You've probably seen the video, but because you get no load on the side of the shocks, you know, where our arms are trying to pivot and go up, they're also trying to force the piston out the side of the shock a lot of the time.
Okay.
Whereas this is exactly linear the way that the curve is on the suspension arms and the shock mount, you could say, is it has no extra force on the shock. So the shock stays super smooth and consistent. The problem they had back in the past, which has tainted people's views on laydown cars, is they didn't have much droop. The way they were back then, they just didn't build much droop into the car. Whereas on our car, we can have actually more droop than we can with a stand-up shock, because it can just keep rotating round the arm. You can just keep going. You don't run out of shock. So as you say, it's been around for us for a while. I started this concept journey in 2019, and we're here now. So it's not something that's been rushed out. Mm-hmm. We've been testing the ApeScale for almost 2 years now. So we're quite far down the development phase, and there's been many variations. My own personal car is the 7th variation we've had. So,
okay.
You can see that a lot of work's gone into it. A lot of time, effort, and money ultimately has gone into it, and we believe in that product. Every time we use it on every different surface we go on, it feels awesome. I'm sure there'll be some days we'll come up against something that's not quite there, but we haven't yet. And if at 95% of our tracks we're better with it, then I mean we're on to a winner, really, surely.
And is that were you thinking about, because you said this is like your concept, your thoughts early doors. So were you thinking of that because of the way eighth tracks have gone with this kind of vegetable oil, oiled tracks that I seem to see all around?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the tracks now are very well prepared. You know, we don't go to a grass field anymore and try and race around. At least for big races, we don't. All the tracks are well prepared. They're generally pretty smooth, even if they're not. It's actually not a problem at all. The biggest thing with center of gravity, it's the same as any race car. You don't really want a high center of gravity. So we were trying to get it low, but keep the suspension as supple and keeping it working as good as we could. And that's what I think we have done. So yeah, it was all that. We did base it initially on the track that we have now, but as a complete bonus, we found out that it works on rough tracks too. Just having that low center of gravity when you turn over bumps, it doesn't want to flip you off like that back section at Southport would be nice and easy. You wouldn't get to a point where your mass of weight tries to go over the top because it's always low. So you actually find it way easier to drive on bumpy tracks because it's never trying to turn itself over.
Okay. And then again, nobody's going to listen. Certainly no eighth people are going to listen to this. We're just 10th Astro car, but people, when will this be the new Agama car?
Yeah. So obviously we're going to keep the old one going, but that's no different to any other year. We've always supported the previous model, you could say, you know, past its sell by date almost, because we like to keep people running with it. But this is going to be the new platform. So for the now and the foreseeable future, you'll be able to buy both cars. But obviously it will be phased out eventually a long time down the line, hopefully into this and the next variation of it and the e-buggy and the truck too.
All right. So have you done any like testing for those stupid, what does Joey call them? Stupid dumb trucks.
Big dumb trucks.
So, have you done some testing? Does it work just as well on a truggy? Is it like they just look massive to me?
They are massive. We've not done much testing with it, no. We know it's going to be good because they're already oversized, massive monsters. And you know, the current trend for truggy, I don't know actually if you know, but the current trend for truggy is putting like buggy body shells on them. Because guess what? It lowers the center of gravity and they're better to drive. So continue that on. We think in the truck it's going to be an absolute weapon because they're already big, fat, high and overweight. So I think...
Hang on, were you talking about a truck or me then?
Well, and Joey actually. But so you imagine that thing. It'll be nice, super low, and it will just have basically tires sticking out. So... that'd be awesome. We're actually looking forward to building that one. We just need to concentrate on getting the buggy out first.
Okay. So, but I think at the last RCGP over in America, you still ran, I think, is it the 219?
319.
319, sorry. And then you're going to Italy soon, I think?
Yep, Italy in a few weeks.
And so will you run your 319 or your N1?
We're not sure yet. It might still have to be the 319 purely because we're still running on 3D printed parts.
Okay.
The thing is, people look at the N1 and go, oh, why are you not running it? Because it looks done. Like the plastic look like molded parts, but they're not. They're all 3D. And we took it out after the RCGP in the States. And, you know, the front gearbox had like a small crunch because when you land, you know, it's trying to step. operate, where it gets, the quality of this 3D printed stuff is not cheap. So if we break an arm, it costs us about £40 to £50 each time.
Oh.
So, you know, it comes up if you have a good few crashes and your weekend gets quite expensive.
Okay. Well, that's awesome, mate. And then I also noticed, as the last thing before we let you go, that are you trying to be a film star?
Well, the opposite. I'm trying to be behind the camera.
Right. Okay. I saw a picture of, like, it looked like a sort of off-road vehicle and with a boom arm. Now, are you driving the car, the big car, or are you driving the camera?
So I control the arm. So the arm is on top, swings around, right. And that's what I do. We'll have a precision driver in the driver's seat, and then you'll have a camera operator that controls the camera.
Okay, so where did you? Did someone just look for, you know, national winning RC car, and then went, oh, Lee Martin comes up on, I don't know, I'm assuming on LinkedIn, that's what it says.
Yeah, I mean, it probably would, but no, that's not how it happened. It was COVID. COVID, same with a lot of people, you know, our industry took a hit on the racing side of things because we couldn't go out and race. You know, especially for someone like me that had their livelihood based on that, it was a little bit worrying when at the end of the year, you know, if you don't get a new contract, what do? Like, you're out on your ass basically. And what do you do? Go and work at Asda or whatever. So I went on a little exploratory mission. I mean, you guys might remember the advert I did for Ford, last year.
Yes. You
remember it? Yep. So it was after that, because we were filming cars, but with like real dodgy contraptions that people have kind of made to try and film what we were doing. And I was like, there must be something better out there that does this. And I went on a little mission to find out. And I spoke to a few friends that are in the industry, a guy called Charlie Locke, which is a friend of mine. He's already in the industry as a cameraman. And then he introduced me to another guy called Charlie, who had just started this company that do tracking vehicles, which is what you're seeing on my Instagram and stuff. And then it really went from there. We had I texted him one day, and then straight away he called me, and we had a conversation, and that was it. And next week I was meeting him, and then we were off, and I was trying to learn as quickly as possible, you know, not coming from a filming camera background, trying to learn all this stuff and how it all works. And I'm still learning now, but I've luckily been doing that for 9-10 months now, on the side of RC and gaining some good experience and doing some awesome jobs and meeting some awesome people and trying to, you know, not create a new career, because I still want to be in RC as long as I can and everyone wants me, but also having an option that's different from RC in case anything ever happens like COVID again, or, you know how it is. You've always got to like to try and do two things. Plus, I really enjoy doing it. I think I'm quite good at it because, you know, with RC, we have massive spatial awareness and we have to time things perfectly, which is all goes into what we're doing with the arm. You know, if someone telling you to do a move and you've got to do a move, or we were doing night shoots where we had to keep it out in front of a car that's coming towards us as long as possible and then have time to get it back in without smashing everything to pieces and costing £250,000. Right. Which, you know, I was like, yeah, don't worry, we got this. I'll hang it out there and we'll bring it in, and fingers crossed, and cross your toes and touch your head for wood and all that stuff. And then it all worked out right. So yeah, it's something I enjoy, and yeah, we're just rolling with it and seeing where it takes us at the moment, but it's all going quite well.
Well, I was going to say it must just be like sort of inbuilt memory of like thumbs on sticks, but then I remember again that you don't use sticks.
No, exactly. Kind of guy.
So.
But it's a completely different thing. You know, we're swinging something round on top, we're going up and down. So yeah, you are making that connection, but it's more about putting it into places that are safe, but good enough to get the shot, and moving it smoothly enough so that, you know, the camera stays smooth, and basically just, and also trying to put everyone at ease that you're not going to smash into stuff.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome, mate. I think we covered quite a bit of RC, but before we go, let's just ask one more question. How am I going to get better, Lee? What should I
do? Well, you can book a Le Martin training day.
Are they still available? That was what I was going for.
Well, I stopped them for a while. Well, I didn't really stop them, but COVID kind of stopped them for a while. Yeah. And I'm going to be going to do one this Friday, actually. So probably going to kickstart them off a little bit more again. Get to a few tracks, help some guys out, try and do some kids training days and stuff. Yeah, obviously I've got my kids now, so I'm going to start helping them a bit and probably invite other kids at the same time and trying to, you know, push RC to the younger generation, which is what we all need to do.
Okay. So clearly I'm going to sort one of those out. I'm going to go straight into our office. I can't go tomorrow. My car's broken. But I'll get in the office and go, I think I've got a great idea for some corporate hospitality.
Just
get Lee in. Lay up, and then we'll invite some people. That sounds like a great idea. We'll do that. But as a 46, don't get shocked. A 46-year-old man, how am I going to get better? Am I practice? Do I need more prep? Is it mental? Fix me now.
Well, the only way you get better is by practice. You can't imagine you're going to get better by sitting at home and doing nothing. So that is rule number one. You're not going to get better by sitting in the living room. So you've got to get out there and you've got to do laps. But then you need to put the right practice in. You know, if we're learning to do handwriting, a bit weird one, my kids do handwriting, obviously. So if you're learning to do handwriting, but you don't have a guide or someone to tell you how to correctly form letters, you're just scribbling on a piece of paper, aren't you? So always try and look for others, ask advice from people, a local club, watch how the faster guys are driving and how they're driving different to you. Failing that, you can, you know, book a training day. It's quite good or easy for me to be able to quickly see what you're doing wrong. But it will take you a long time to kind of change because you've been doing a certain thing wrong for all these years. It takes a while to adjust to a new style. But once you do it, and what I try and do is to help people to get their head around why I'm telling them to do this, I think you'll see the results improve gradually, and you just got to keep at it, keep practicing, and it will come.
That's good. But now you've convinced me that I should just book a practice day for myself, so I don't want to be inviting anybody else because I want them to get better.
Well, that is, you know, catch 22. I won't teach anyone that's getting too close to me because, you know.
Well, me and Martin are fine then.
You guys are good. Although the guy I've got this Friday is pretty fast and he's a youngster, so we'll see how he goes.
Okay, mate, it's been brilliant. It's been great catching up. I remember the last time we caught up, it was literally as we were being locked down.
Wow.
I
thought we did like a New Year's special, didn't we?
That was the other podcast.
Oh, was it?
Yep, we did. Well, you went on the grid talk with Neil at the same time.
Okay.
We did that.
It
wasn't us. Don't worry, mate. I'm not bitter.
You should have researched 2010 a bit more and we've been all right.
Should have. I'm not being funny. Should have. That was the thing. But literally, that was the time because I the episodes before that, I used to do sit in my car. And then
I remember that.
And then that was the first time we didn't because I didn't know whether I was allowed out of my house.
Wow.
So that's how long. But, mate, it's been brilliant. Before you let you go, as always, would you like to thank anyone who's been good to you recently?
Everyone's always good to me. I'd like to really this time thank the BRCA groups and the guys that, you know, all the club teams that have survived through all this crap we've had in the last few years. Still got clubs for us to go and race at. Still put all the effort in. Guys like yourself, Martin, all these BRCA guys that do all this shit, basically, for the love of the hobby and for us to go racing. So everyone should take a little bit of time, thank them when you see them, and give everyone a bit of respect when you're there and you're not having the best day, but realize that everyone else is there to push our industry forward and to how it should be.
Thanks. I don't like anyone being nice to Martin. I'm incredibly jealous.
I won't be in person. Don't worry.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine. That's fine. Joey pointed out that Martin got more Facebook likes on his post than I got on mine. I literally haven't spoken to Martin since. That's why I've ignored him all this episode. Lee, from the bottom of my heart, I love you, Lee.
Love you guys too.
I can prove. No, no. He doesn't. Martin doesn't. I love you.
Oh, wow.
It's true. It's written on my shirt.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Thanks very much for your time, mate. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, cheers, guys. Mate. You have a good one. Take care.
Bye.
Right.
Well, that was great speaking to Lee. Martin, you're going to have to stop Paul Worsley phoning you in the middle of our podcasts.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Okay. Stop that. Stop that. Right. Not on a Tuesday. Right. I don't work on a Tuesday. You don't get telephone calls or anything. Or don't do it while Joey. You can only do it if Joey attends. And I think Joey's back on nights. That's why he's not here. But more importantly, I enjoyed, as we always do, and you will enjoy when you listen back, Martin, speaking to Lee and all the things that he knows and he's done. It's great to speak to him. We don't need to thank anyone for last week because it was just you, me and Joey. And I'm going to use that opportunity to do a little apology to Steve Brown. Okay. And it's not really an apology for Steve Brown because Steve Brown hasn't said or done anything. However, we had an issue at the end of Steve Brown's episode the week before. And so what we had to do is we had to cut short the part of the podcast where he thanks the people. So it kind of sounds like he doesn't thank anyone. He just goes, he did. And in fact, we had some really good conversations after that as well. But I think it's important that Steve Brown did very completely name, I'm not going to do it now, a load of people at Torch who help him out. And run that club. I'm going to say help him out. He never used those words. Those are the words I used. He did name you all. I can prove that by he named people I didn't know. Okay? It wasn't just the normal people who they know I know. I'm not going to go to there. He did, of course, thank S-Works for all the help and support that he gave. He thanked Tony of Doke, didn't he? He sorted out all the stuff Rude Bits does. And most importantly of all, and probably what was the most, I can only assume and guess, uncomfortable podcast listened to on the way up to Southport, he did quite clearly thank his long-suffering wife, who attends meetings, who was there at Southport, and literally that's the bit I cut off. Okay, because we had some issues while recording. So I could just see that thing of, you know, hit Mr. and Mrs. Brown driving that 7 hours from Torch all the way up to Southport. And at the end, he didn't thank his missus. He was sat next to him in a car. If all goes well, I am in Southampton-ish way next Friday. If I need to turn up to the Brown's house and apologise, I will do that, Steve. Let me know. All right, mate. I've just got a few things to go through. Well, is there anything BRCA we need to chat about? Is everything okay?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Just getting stuff ready for the Euro. Yeah, it's all good.
It's probably, it is now like a month to the Euros, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Have we got anyone to pick the international referee up from Manchester Airport yet?
Yes, I believe someone's doing it.
Somebody's doing that. It's always good. Okay. Guys, so I've just got, as always, a few things we can try and go through. First of all, we shared on our page today, Tuesday. Thank you very much that it is the anniversary of Jimmy Uppal. Jimmy's story is passing. He was the person who got most of us together, even though we didn't know, on a Facebook page, on a website called Uppal.com. They run this now does Uppal series meetings, the stickers, there's still the website still there. He was a great person and did some great reviews of cars. He went to reviews of meetings, he went to extra meetings, didn't he? He did coverage of nationals and had this website where we could all get together and talk. We should have mentioned it to Lee, but I forgot this. there was a great thing, and I've mentioned this before on other podcasts, that there was this great argument between Roger Mills and Bump Steer. And Alan O'Brien was involved and all of those things. And those are great. I remember Lee had an argument with somebody over an Academy car. It's the only place we saw pictures of an aero four-wheel drive. It really was everything to do with RC. And now it's been that kind of, I don't know, but like 7 years, 8 years since he passed. And he's really, he must be missed terribly by the people who were his close friends. And then for just people who just met him once or twice, you know, we just know everything that he did for RC. So we mentioned that again. I think I joked during the bit when you were disappeared, how many laps Crompton's done of Robin Hood last week?
Yeah.
I think Archie Bowman's tried to take that title off him now. It's half term in the UK. Was it half term or full term? Archie Bowman's at Robin Hood doing laps. It is nearly the end of the biggest and longest question we've had on the Extra Lap RC podcast, mate. Today is the closing date for IFMAR World venues for the 10th Worlds in 2023 in America. And the closing date happened. So we will soon, eventually, know when the where the next 10th Worlds is. Where do you think it's going to be, boss?
Chico.
You think of Chico. I used to think Hobby Action. And then we spoke to Jason Rowan. And he said it was unlike, on the podcast, he said it was unlikely to be Hobby Action. Maybe we'd go to Beachline in Florida. We're on carpet. That would be great, wouldn't it? I'd love that.
Yeah, it's Florida, though.
Joey Fisher won't be there because everyone runs mod. It'll be fine. Mark Croxford, I could stay with Mark Croxford. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Not for you Mark.
Could. No.
But there we go. So we're looking there. I'd like to list a lot of people. You were not a vice champion today, were you? This weekend?
No.
You won. So that means Alex Carter was a vice champion. Joe Howson beat him. Ethan Bradbury was a vice champion because Kev beat him at Southport. Harry Mears was a vice champion because you beat him at Mendip.
Yeah.
And me and Joey were, get this right, vice champions at the meetings that we went to. I'm not being funny, Martin. We would be talking to Bruno, except he's practicing in Spain at this moment in time. We're going to get the real first original vice champion on, and we're going to chat to Bruno soon enough. I'd like to thank my good friend, Canadian Marco. He's one of those guys whose messenger says they've just found the podcast and they're listening back and they're listening through work. So I don't know when actually Canadian Marco is going to get to me thanking Canadian Marco. But if you are listening back, please send us a message. We love to get messages in the Extra Lap RC page, whether it's to us or individuals, just to tell us where you're up to. It's really quite interesting. Did you see a letter from Efra hit Facebook today, Martin?
No, I haven't really been on there.
Oh, today. You've been working. You've been fixing proper diesel engines?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Well, when reading the letter, I didn't know what was going on, but there's actually just more spaces in the in the Worlds. The 8th Worlds in September have come up. So I know the UK have got another 7 spaces, like Spain have got another 10 spaces. So I'm sure you're probably aware of this now, but there are more spaces that the Worlds have been handed out. So if you were just missing out because of qualification, you're probably going to get in. It's the Worlds warm up in Redovan this weekend. As we put this out on Friday, those people will probably have already started the world's warm up. And there's a few Americans go. Ty Tessman's going. Spencer's going. Is Fend going?
No idea.
Certainly some of the Americans are coming over. All the Europeans will be there. I don't know what coverage there'll be. There must be some videos. It'd be interesting to see that. And I think that's it, mate. Nice. Because it's not, I'm going to say that you get to thank not even your own sponsors, you get to thank the national sponsors every time there's a national on. So that means if there's not a national on, then I get to thank mine.
Therefore,
I'd like to thank the hashtag Schumacher family for everything that they do for us. Though I will, if anyone's listening, like make it, something like that, can you send me some O-rings so I can pretend that I've been putting them on my shock tower? I'd like to thank TQ Models for all the stuff that they do. I'd like to thank RC House for the amazing stickers that they've sent me. Vic's Paint for the paint. Composite Kit for the best hat. And Clinic RC for everything else that they sort out for us. It's really good. The help and support and the love that we get from the listener. And if you like something or you dislike something, please let us know. I would actually have to, I was going to apologize for something else today, but the Steve Brown apology comes first. So sometime in the future, we'll get another apology from Aiden. Please like and share this podcast. Please like and share all the podcasts. I've really enjoyed speaking to Lee and you tonight, Martin. Unfortunately, I've enjoyed it so much that's not given me any time to talk about me being a setup genius at Southport.
Yeah, right.
I'm not being funny. I've nailed setup. Basically, I've run whatever Josh Holdsworth's setup is and shorten the rear link. That's it. That's all I do. Whatever Josh does, shorten the rear link. And we've got no time at all, though I'll say it slowly for the people at the back, to figure out, in the e-buggy truggy section, do they count laps if your PT doesn't work like they did last weekend, or do they not count laps like what happened to Crompton the other year? I would be interested to know, because guys, you make a decision, people will remember. People will remember. I'm not being funny. You know, I keep seeing pictures. I'm being very nice. I can say, this is my podcast. We can say what we like. But I find it very difficult not to post on X-Ray's post saying a clean sweep of the board of e-buggy and sitting there going, well, he shouldn't have been in because he got let in because his PT broke. Come, guys, let's have a bit of consistency, even if they are big, dumb trucks. Martin, I love you lots, and I'll speak to you next week. Bye now.
See you later. Bye-bye.